Welcome back to the Mix Files. The Mix Files premieres a new interview with a Mixposure artist each week on Saturday Night Rocks with EBS and Friends. EBS would be Experimental Brain Surgery, that is Maurice. Friends would be Dolce, Daddy Rabbit, Devo Dale, and me, Cooter, host of the Mix Files. We got Rich Lodato today. It's a good one. We appreciate you tuning back in and joining us again. Gather lengths yet to be had. It's all fine, my friends, we know. Gather up. Gather time that may. Mix Files comes to you on Mixstream Radio from Mixposure.com. It is available as a podcast free download. You come to the Mixposure.com homepage, you see the menu across the top, and you go to Mixstream Radio, and you will see a drop down menu from there, and one of the choices will be podcasts. You select the podcast and you'll see what to do from there. It's available as the show only, the Mix Files only, or and it's available as part of the entire Saturday Night Rocks show. Help yourself to that if you like. We appreciate you tuning back in. This tune that he's singing now is called Gather All. I'm talking over this one, and I'll talk over it again at the end, and I usually don't talk over music with vocals in it. But Rich is doing this song live during the interview, so you'll get to hear it done live, not pre-recorded. Well, it'll be pre-recorded when you hear it. But when we did the interview, it was live. I'll shut up now. Rich Lodato. Gather everything you've got. Gather time. First thing I'd like to ask you is just how you got into music, Rich.
I've always been a musician from the womb.
I was
a musician. I was obsessed with music. By the time I was 1 year old, my sister used to play her music kind of loud. And her bedroom was underneath the kitchen. So I used to go into the kitchen and put my ear to the floor so I can hear her music.
When you were one?
What's that?
When you were 1 year old?
When I was one, yeah.
You remember that?
Oh, I remember everything.
Oh, yeah,
I have a pretty vivid memory of my, even when I was a baby. I have a memory of when my mother nursed me.
Wow.
It freaked her out when I described to her with her, you know, what she looked like, and she went, oh, my God. How do you know that? I said, well, I remember.
Yeah. Whoa, that's cool, man.
But I've always been obsessed with music. My father was a musician, and I swear you could give him any instrument, and he could play it.
Yeah.
And he used to freak me out. One time he pulled out a mandolin and started playing, and he played good, and I was freaked out. Well, he never wanted that for me. He didn't want me to be a musician. And out of all the kids at that time when I was a kid, I'm the eighth, he didn't want me to be a musician because he knew I was obsessed with it and he didn't think it would be a good life for me. So he kept me from it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't allowed to actually express myself until I was about 15 when he died. So then I became a musician.
Wow.
Yeah, a little heavy, but you know, you learn from the pain and you get better.
Yeah. And it's also not, you know, not something to hang on to. Yeah.
No, learn, but you know what? It comes out.
Yeah.
You can't just turn a switch off and say, all right, my memories are not there.
Yeah.
It all comes out in the music. Everything I have comes out in my music, and you can hear it.
Yeah.
It's evident. Everybody always tells me, I hear it all the time. You know, Rich is singing with such passion, and I don't mean to. It's just the way I sing. And when I do sing, I'm putting everything I am into it because it means that much to me.
Yeah.
I've sacrificed everything in my life for it, not to make money by it, because it's never been about making money. It's never been about being popular. It's about me being a musician. It's what I do. It's what makes me happy.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that's the important thing.
That's just too many fallen angels. I'm here where angels are made. The reject line is so long, at times you just might think you're in hell. When you're really preaching, I love for love, I've love to love from love, and that places are filled with smiles. That's too much preaching, I love for love, I've love to love from love. Love. Shortage from the speaker. Sometime next year when I'm in a nearby hell, I think I'll stay a while and make some good loving friends. God knows I can't find them. Some of the ugliest people in the beautiful
something you just want to just go ahead and talk about?
Yeah, I would like to talk about what I'm doing lately.
Yeah.
And what my influence are. I can't hear you, Cooter. So if you're talking to me, I don't know if you are.
I'm only talking now.
In and out, but that's cool. I'm just going to go on from here.
Go ahead.
Things changed for me musically. I mean, I'm a late bloomer. Mm-hmm. I'm a very late bloomer. I've always done music. I've done music since I was 15. I wrote my first song when I was 15. I mean, I wrote it right after I learned the C, G, and D chords.
Yeah.
I wrote a song.
Yeah.
I had to sing.
Yeah.
I knew I had a voice, and I had to sing.
Yeah.
My voice wasn't as good back then because I was too afraid to, like, let it out, and I kept singing from my throat. I wasn't singing from my diaphragm.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really learn to sing from my diaphragm until I was, like, 19, and I stumbled upon it because I stumbled upon doing it. It just something happened.
Yeah.
And I realized, oh, my God, this is a little different. And my voice changed.
Uh-huh.
It got deeper,
uh-huh.
but it got larger.
Uh-huh.
And that was the first transformation of my music. The second transformation of my music was singing live and knowing what people turned on to and what they didn't. What people turned on to was when I got really personal. And when I wrote something that was quirky, they didn't turn on to it. So I stayed to the personal stuff, and people responded to that. And then after I moved out of San Francisco in 1980, I came to Pennsylvania. And my ideas were to start gigging in Pennsylvania. But in Pennsylvania at that time in 1980, nobody, absolutely nobody, wanted to hear what I had to do.
Yeah.
It was all 80s music, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I was an 80s.
I know what you mean.
My guitar, and I was a crooner.
Yeah.
I like to sing. I like to write music. I like to write melodies.
Yeah.
You know, things that have melody to them.
Yep.
You don't have to follow a structure of, you know, intro, verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, end. It doesn't have to follow that.
Yeah.
It follows my intuition as far as where the song wants to go. It doesn't follow a rule.
Yeah.
And that works for me.
Yeah.
But lately, I discovered I'm going to skip quite a few years because all the 80s are a disappointment. I mean, a lot of times I didn't even do music. I kind of got out of it. But I did write a lot of music in the 80s. It just wasn't very good. I was lost. And then in the 90s, I stopped doing music altogether, and I gave it up. And I gave it up for about, 5 years. And then I met somebody, and that person heard my music. And they said, you know, you are one mother frickin' talented guy. Why the hell are you not doing this? What are you, crazy? So he got me to start doing music again. And
mm-hmm.
then I started doing it again. And before I knew it, I was doing gigs. And I was doing open mic gigs. And they were all great gigs because people responded. I mean, they just got these great responses. But then I got tired of doing the gigs.
Yeah.
I get tired of everything. I don't last at anything too long.
I
always
you.
Like to keep it new.
Yeah.
Keep it fresh.
Yeah.
So recently, I mean, and let's skip a few more years because all the rest is just BS. Recently, about 2 years ago, I visited New Orleans for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how New Orleans is. I don't know if you probably do. You have a Southern accent. You know something about the place.
I've been there.
And I love the place. I went there, and there was so much music, and there was so much culture, and there was just this thing I'd never felt before. And there were certain people that were playing in the street that got to me. And there was something in the what they were doing, and it just got to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I came back from that trip 2 years ago, my music completely changed. New Orleans rubbed off on me. That jazz thing rubbed off on me. I'm not saying that I do jazz. I do my own version of everything.
Uh-huh.
But everything changed. All of a sudden, I wanted to just celebrate my vocals and my guitar, what I do best.
Yeah.
Instead of doing all this, you know, I did a lot of electronic stuff and a lot of ambient stuff. And some of it was kind of nice and some of it was great. And some people loved it and some people thought, well, you know. But I got away from all that because to me, music is who I am. And who I am is I don't need a mic. I just need my guitar and my vocals.
Uh-huh.
That's the real musician. That's the person I am.
Yeah.
And my last few songs that I've been uploading on various sites, including Mixposure, are just me and my guitar, not even a bass guitar. I mean, I've got a drillion tracks to work with, but I don't do it. I just want to make the simplest thing I can do the most beautiful. and the most meaningful and the most outspoken. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm finally getting there. And I think the reason I'm getting there is because I saw something in what the street musicians in New Orleans were doing.
You can't ride me blind, 'cause I won't let you. You can't steal me blind, I've done it for you. I know you can't face these things you do. As for me, I'm blind, music takes its place. You can't find me always here, hiding like you do. Nothing says a book full.
Gigging,
I used to, and I'm about to start again. I used to about 10 years ago. I would do a lot of open mics around Philadelphia, and, uh-huh. and the reason I did open mics is because nobody knows who I am, so you know, you just got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But I always had a great audience. They'd hear me sing, and then all of a sudden, I knew I had them.
Yeah.
I always know I have somebody when I sing, because yeah. I can really belt it, and when I'm live, I can belt it even louder, and because they motivate me. I love to sing in front of people once I get over the stage fright, which takes about 10 minutes, and I have to wait for the Xanax to kick in, then I'm fine.
Let me ask you about Gather All, Rich.
Say that again.
Is there a story with that song, Gather All?
Oh, Gather All.
Yeah.
Gather all you have to give. Gather everything you've got. I love that song.
I do too.
Oh, man, I love that freaking song.
Yeah.
I can play it for you if you want.
Well, we're going to play it on the air, but you know what?
I can play it for you live. I have my mixer right here and my guitar plugged right into it.
Why don't you just do that?
It's up to you, man. This is your show. You do what you need to do.
No. See, that's it's not my show. This mix files is your show. The next mix files I do will be with, let's see, I'm not exactly sure who it's going to be. I think it might be Christina Crofts. She's a guitar player from Australia who does southern rockish kind of music, I suppose.
I'm Australia.
A lot of slide guitar with some distortion and stuff like that. And I told her the same thing. And it's the same thing when I interviewed Max Sanders and David C. Deal and Devo Dale and let's see, who else was it? Farrell Jackson and
I love Farrell, man. He is so supportive. He was one of the first people that talked to me when I got to mix.
Yeah,
and he was very cool. I love the guy.
As soon as he heard, yes, he is.
Oh, big time.
As soon as he heard that I was going to be doing these interviews, he volunteered to be the first person that I talked to.
Oh, that's nice.
It sure was. It took that because, you know, as soon as I agreed to it, then my next thought was, well, who the hell is going to talk to me about, you know, for an hour? And, you know, because I've done some radio shows there, but most people hadn't heard. Farrell had.
Right.
And Farrell and I had done a collab with Joseph Rodriguez and about a half a dozen or a dozen other people, a party song, TGIF. Yeah. And Farrell wrote a...
Boy, that joke gets around, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he gets around, man. Yeah. We worked with a lot of same collabs with... I've done a lot of collabs with people he's collabed with.
Uh-huh.
I've never heard from him. I'm on music, and I'm still waiting, Joe. Still waiting, you know? Like to hear you say something. I'm not that bad. That's all.
I'm going to make sure that gets in there.
I want him to hear it.
Why don't you... Or is your guitar hooked up?
I can hook it up right now. It's right.
Why don't you go ahead and hook it up and play Gather All?
Want me to play Gather All?
Play Gather All. Hook it up and play Gather All. I'm not gonna promise you it'll be in the show.
That's all right. Okay. I'm doing it for you.
Okay, excellent.
I'm singing for you.
Oh, excellent. Even better, man.
Is that good?
Yeah.
All right, you tell me when the voice and the guitar are matching, because I don't hear it from your end.
Okay.
Gather everything you've got. Gather time you yet to let. Gather all. Gather time your strength you know. Gather length yet to end. It's all fine, my friends, not again. Gather time that may. Gather time's not so. Gather ways to go ahead. When you look behind and think, that was then and now I see. Gather that and so much more. Gather ways to go ahead. Gather all. Gather all. gather all you have to give. Gather everything you've got. Gather time you've yet to live.
Outstanding, man. Outstanding.
Well, thank you.
That's one of the coolest moments that I've had doing these talks with people.
Oh, really?
That's one of the coolest moments right there. That was fine, Rich. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, let me give you a little story, okay? I'll help you out here. In 1975, I moved to San Francisco. I was 19 years old. Mm-hmm. And I moved to San Francisco, and I was working in some store, this antique store. Mm-hmm. And this guy, Jeff Clark, comes in the store. Jeff Clark had severe cerebral palsy, and people used to kind of like shun away from him because he looked a little strange, because you know how palsy can be.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, he comes into my store, and he introduces himself as Jeff Clark, tells me he's a photographer, and he wants me to fit a crystal inside his lens of his camera so he can shoot photographs through the crystal. So I find him this crystal, and he asks, you know, and it was kind of a good fit. I put a rubber band around the rim of the lens that he wanted me to put it in there so it'll fit in there snug. And then he started shooting photographs of me. Mm-hmm. And that was it. And then he bought the crystal and he left. And then he came back in the store the next day, and he said, I developed all those photographs I took of you. I'd like to photograph you. And I said, cool. So we set up a date, and he photographed me. One thing led to another. He had this gallery on Polk Street. Mm-hmm. It was called Mindscapes Gallery. And Jeff used to do these slideshows with this music behind them. And the slideshows, he had like five projectors that would all segue into each other to tell a story with these slides from photographs that he took.
Cool.
And he'd put music behind them, and it would tell a story through the music and uh-huh. through the photographs.
Uh-huh.
And then he'd sell the photographs after the show, and then he did very well.
Yeah.
Well, we started doing that. We started, and he decided that he wanted to do a story of my life as an artist and musician and how I got to San Francisco.
Oh, cool.
And so we did all these photographs, and then he wanted me to write all the music because he knew I played guitar and sang, and he loved it when he listened to me play guitar and sing.
Uh-huh.
So I said, in order for us to do this, we're going to have to rent some equipment so the audio quality is okay, or we're going to have to rent some studio time so I can just record the music for this feature. So he decided that we were going to go and look at some equipment. We went to this place called Sound Genesis. They're not there anymore, I'm sure, but they were like a place where all the big acts in San Francisco were buying their equipment. So we went in there, and I picked out this four-track reel-to-reel recorder and a two-track mixdown and an eight-track Tascam mixer, a 421 mic, and I think another Sennheiser mic to record my guitar. And I used the 421 to do my vocals.
Uh-huh.
Well, anyway, we bought this equipment, and I probably was one of the first people in San Francisco to have a project studio. And this is 1977 at this point. And I built a little recording studio out of this fainting closet that I had at the end of my apartment. And the closet was about 6x6. And I coated all the walls cork a wine with? The cork.
Cork. Yeah,
yeah, cork.
Cork.
Yeah, I had this cork panels, and I put them all over the walls.
Uh-huh.
And it deadened the room. And it also kept the noise from coming in from outdoors. So I had this recording studio. I just started doing a lot of this recording. And that's when I started recording back in 1977. I mean, really seriously. I mean, before that, you know, I did what everybody else did. You know, you had nine freaking cassettes and you tried to overdub.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
did that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I learned recording through that process. And we did the show. And the show was a very big success. We sold a lot of photographs. And it was really very cool. And that's how I got into recording. And I still had that equipment up until about 5 years ago. All of that original equipment. But now it's gone. So.
Yeah.
But well, that's how I got into recording.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
That's a really great story.
Yeah. It all goes out.
my place is here. My place so clear. Words hear the engines roar. In the background
I mean, because they're a special breed. This is one guy. Oh man, he moved me so much. I woke up at like 6:30 in the morning, and we walked down to the Mississippi just to look out at the river. And there's this lone trombonist singing and playing his trombone, mm-hmm. and he's doing all the old classics.
Yeah,
but he's got this big, huge voice, and it's just traveling and bouncing off all the stone. It's bouncing off all the buildings,
uh-huh.
and then he plays the trombone, and it's bouncing off everything, and it's the most beautiful moment. I swear, I cried like a little baby.
That's
cool. It was so beautiful.
That's
it was
cool.
It was just the most amazing thing I've ever heard. I've
yeah.
never heard anybody that was that. That at one with their music,
uh-huh.
and it changed me forever. I'll never be the same. Never.
That's cool.
It's just beautiful. Music to me is everything. It's
yeah.
the reason I wake up in the morning. It's the reason I'm alive.
Yep.
It's the reason that I've gotten through the hardest times in my life, and it's the reason why I've had the greatest times in my life. It's
you.
All because of music.
Yeah,
it's,
I hear
and there's something about it. And even if nobody hears it, I don't care. Well, I do care. But it's not the point. The point is, if I don't do my music, I have no reason. This has no reason. It
yeah.
gives me reason. It,
yeah.
It's the way I breathe. It's the way I express myself. I write 30 songs every month. Nobody hears most of them. I only put the ones on line that I think are worth listening to, but
yeah.
I'm constantly writing.
Yeah.
I recently set up a little studio that I'm talking to you through now
uh-huh.
in my dining room. I set up, I bought a little Mackie 1402 mixer, and I bought some a microphone. I'm speaking through a Shure 87A Beta
mm-hmm.
microphone, which is really cool microphone. Sounds
mm-hmm.
great, doesn't it?
It does.
It sounds
yeah.
beautiful. And I recorded the last song that I uploaded on Mixposure called The Thief. I recorded that with this little setup in here, but I mixed it in my studio just to give it a little bit of oomph. But it sounds beautiful. And so now I have a recording setup in my dining room as well as my studio, which is in a separate building next to my house. And so I can write music whenever I'm in the mood. So when I'm in the dining room, because a lot of times I'll be in the dining room, and I have, these bay windows going around the dining room, and I can look out on all these plants and everything. It's very inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I get in the mood for singing, so I decided I should set up a studio here, a little mini studio, because I get inspired, and I want to do things right on the spot,
yeah.
right on the spot.
Yeah.
And so I can do that now. And I wrote 3 songs sitting here in the dining room in the last 2 days, and I'm thrilled to death.
Cool.
Thrilled to death. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at musically. I'm a songwriter. I play by ear. I don't write music. I can't read it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to, because I can feel things. I just feel it. I hear a song, I just feel it, and I can do it. I play a lot of bass guitar, and I play a little synth. I suck at the keyboards, but I can get by, and I can do things that I can fool people, make them believe that I can do something. It's all trick and mirrors. You know how that goes. I do whatever I do to get the sound that I need, to get
yeah.
the thing that I have in my head out on the song.
That's yeah.
whatever the song calls for is what I'm going to do. But right now, what the song calls for right now is just me and my guitar, and I'm really enjoying that.
I'm really
loving it. I'm loving the purity of it. I know it's not very popular, but who cares? They're going to love me 50 years from now. And when I'm dead, I'm going to be worshipped. Maybe they'll name a high school after me. The Rich Lodato School for musicians.
Or a bridge, or an interstate, or something. Yeah.
But,
just hope they don't name an aircraft carrier after you, Rich.
Excuse me? Say that again?
Just hope they don't name an aircraft carrier after you.
I wouldn't mind. Hey, remember me. Just remember me. Do you remember something?
I have a feeling that with the music that you're making that, you know, I don't know that you or I, either one, will ever be in the world famous category, but you are making some mighty fine music, good sir, and there will be some people listening to your tunes long after you're gone. I think this has been terrific. There is, I would like to see if you have anything to comment on the course.
The course. Let me bring it up. Oh, well, I don't even have to bring that up. All right. Now, I've been working with a guy named Terry Wigmore. He's not on Mixposure, but he's on another site. He's a musician, and he lives in Canada. Mm-hmm. He's a teacher, and he teaches children who have been abused. And just to be quick and short about it, mm-hmm. He incorporates musicians from the site that he belongs to contribute to their kids' course. You know, the kids need something to relate with, and they need people to care about them because they've been abused, and they're hurt, and they're screwed up. And a lot of them are drug addicts. A lot of them are prostitutes and hustlers and all that other stuff. And,
I have a friend in Atlanta who does that exact same thing.
Well, this is what the course is about, and I'm talking to the students. I've been working with his students and writing them songs, sending them artwork and poems and interviews, video interviews and all this stuff, talking to them because I relate with them because I'm an abused child. And I'm not going to go into that, but...
Well, you got a big heart too, man.
I can relate with them, and I want to help them.
Yeah.
And I want to help them as much as I can. And since Terry has interviewed me and I told him about these really deep, dark secrets that I have, he wanted to share this with his students because he thought it would help them, and it has helped them a great deal. And
yeah.
This song was one of the songs that I wrote for them.
Today to celebrate a completion, a course in life, my friend. So step right in and be the guest. We've all come to see another course from me, another door to open.
Biggest influence in music of all time. I know you haven't asked me this. I'm going to tell it to you.
Fire away, man.
My biggest influence is Joni Mitchell.
Cool.
Joni plays guitar in a way that nobody else plays.
She does.
And she sings in a way nobody else sings.
She
and
does.
I'm not trying to imitate her, but I've been listening to her for so many years
mm-hmm.
that I've become a little bit of part. I've adapted a lot of her technique. And just because I just love it so much and I relate with it And, yeah. And I think she's influenced a lot of my guitar playing. Like if you listen to Hygira, if you listen to Don Juan's Reckless Daughter, if you listen to, what's that album, that jazz album she put out with Mingus. If you listen to Mingus, you'll listen to the guitar, the way she's playing guitar, and the way she plays guitar these days in her 60s. It sounds like me.
Yeah.
And or I sound like her, or I'm not trying to sound like her, but she's had that influence on me because it's you can hear it, and I hear it. I can't help but hear it. I can't help but hear the association, and I'm not ashamed of it. I don't think I'm playing exactly what she does, but it just resonates with me, and it focuses me. It's like when you grew up with the Beatles, you have a little Beatles influence. I grew up with Mitchell, and I have her influence.
Yeah.
I grew up with Led Zeppelin, so I have a lot of my other playing. I sound a little bit, I have like Jimmy Page influence because he had a big influence on the way I use my chords. Mm-hmm. And I have a big influence from the way I sing, believe it or not. I know it's going to sound really strange to you, but Plant has really had an effect on me. John Hiatt has had a huge effect on me. Kenny Rankin, another. But my biggest influence was Tim Buckley, Jeff Buckley's father, in the folk music era back in the 60s. I loved his voice so much, and my voice sounded very much like him. Actually, I can imitate him, and we sound like the same person, although he has a better range than I do.
Well, I think that may explain some of your phrasing, too. You have a unique way of phrasing groups of words.
That's usually when people say, what the hell did he just say? What does he mean by that? I get that all the time. Can you explain this to me? Because I really don't get it.
The phrasing?
Yeah.
Do you understand meter?
What do you mean?
Meter. In poetry?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
You understand
if
you understand if a snare drum hits on the directly on the beat, on beats 1, 2, 3, 4, then it's just gonna be going whap, 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 whap all day long. That's all it does.
Right.
But now, if you introduce some 16th notes or 32nd or 64th notes into the mix, okay. And now there is something unique being played every measure, there is a different phrase. The
for
phrasing is different
repeated.
Every measure.
Yeah, I try to keep everything different.
Yeah.
I don't want to repeat myself. I like to keep it fresh.
But you have, with your vocal, you have a folk feel to your phrasing. Your vocal style is not really folk to me.
I grew up with folk music.
Yeah.
Mostly the things that had turned me on as a child was folk music. I grew up with 50s music, 50s doo-wop.
Mm-hmm.
I inherited all my older sister's records from the 50s, and that's what I loved. The first song that I ever loved was a song called Go Jimmy Go, which is not doo-wop. It was a rock and roll song from, I think, 59. I saw her when she wanted to dance, and she's the sweetest little dancer in the world. Well, she's on, I don't remember the words. Well, anyway, I love the song. And it had that boom, ba boom, 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 da 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 da. That's what I grew up with.
See, now the where the bum, bum, ba da 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 Where all the accents and where all the beginning of the notes come and how long you hold the notes, the combination of all of that is the phrasing.
Right.
So it's not like if you phrase something different in a book, you may just choose different words for it.
Right.
But time is involved in the phrasing in music.
Right.
And it's the way that any particular an eighth note is an eighth note, but an eighth note sounds different depending on what precedes it and what comes after it.
And the accent.
It's relative to everything.
To me, everything is accent. It's how you enter and leave a note.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the accent. I could strum a whole song and do three notes, but the whole song is going to sound completely outstretched. It's not going to sound like it's repeating itself, because gotcha. The way I approach each note is going to be to what I'm singing.
Mm-hmm. And that is your musical phrasing, the yeah. way that you play it slightly different. You know, and it could be if you're playing with your thumb and your
fingers. Forget about timing. My timing is all the way off. I mean, Brian has tried to play my music a trillion times. Even when I play to a click track, he can't keep my timing because yeah. my timing is all over the place. I've never been good at timing, even yeah. with a click track. I forget about the click track, and it becomes white noise.
I hear you.
I just have my own way of doing it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can play cool. with myself. Even yeah. though the timing is way off base, I can play with myself completely.
Because you know where you are and where you're going.
Yeah.
You know, other
it's
people.
A feeling. It's if, a feeling. Yeah. It's like with an orchestra. An orchestra has their own timing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a steady time. It's all the conductor and how he's doing it. He's telling the orchestra where to go. Fortunately, he's got a trillion people in front of him who are all playing the timing that he's keeping, but the timing is not real. For the most part, it's not real. It's not a constant. It changes. It goes in and out. That's what breathing is in music. It's breathing. It's life. It has its own life. It's unique. It doesn't match anything else. And that's what gives it life.
Yeah. And the mechanical stuff is usually pretty easy to spot. And not nearly as enjoyable as...
Mechanical stuff is predictable. I mean, there's some great, amazing stuff that's done with computers, and I'm not putting any of it down because I've been entertained by tons of stuff that's created on a more mechanical, perfect timing thing. And some people really can swing into that and make it real.
Uh-huh.
But after a while, I get really tired of perfection. It just bores me. Sorry.
Well, there's another side to keeping time. And that is, if there's only one person involved, it's not that big of a deal.
Add another people involved, and you have to have some kind of grid.
There has to be some kind of constant so that everybody knows if I pick this now, I'm going to be with.
Click track comes in. If I know I'm going to be sharing something with somebody else, mm-hmm. I will take the 19 days to 3 months to try to get my I'll do it.
Yeah, yeah. Rich, I got plenty of stuff, man. I have had a ball. I can't believe it's been 2 hours. I don't know where the time went. I mean, I know it happened.
It's been 2 hours and 12 minutes.
I had an outstandingly wonderful time.
I had a great time, man. Cooter, you're just terrific.
You are
you're a good
too,
interviewer.
Rich.
You made me feel extremely comfortable.
Killer. That's the whole, I want this to be, for everybody that's involved with it, I want it to just be fun. You know, if things like this can't be fun, what the hell's the point of doing it?
Not only fun, but you know what? You say things and you say things and you say things, and all kinds of people get something from it, mm-hmm. something they've wanted to hear. And I think that's the most important thing, especially with musicians, because a lot of musicians out there tend to be loners.
Yeah.
They do their music in their studio. They don't play live. They just do their music, and they're reaching into the nether regions of their creativity, and they're letting other people hear it on a whim and a prayer. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they'll get something positive in the return. And hopefully I can say something that relates to these people, because, you know, if I have anything to say, it's that no matter how bad you think you are, let other people judge you. Don't judge yourself. Just do what you do. And believe in yourself, and whatever it is that you do, somebody's going to get hit by it, and it's going to change their world.
That's very eloquent there, Rich. You're a very eloquent gentleman. That's what you are.
Oh, thank you.
And I love you like a brother. I have enjoyed talking
Same
to
here,
you.
Same here, man. I've liked you for a long time.
Cool.
I just felt a vibe. I felt a vibe from you from the very first time you commented on my songs. I thought this guy is real.
Gather all you have to give. Gather everything you've got. Gather time you've yet to live.
You have been listening to The Mix Files. Rich Lodato has been our guest. gather strength you. We were fortunate in that way. And you've been listening to us on Mixstream Radio from Mixposure.com. Rich and I had a lot of fun doing this, and I don't think I speak out of turn when I say we both hope you have enjoyed it, because we sure did.
Gather time that made us laugh. Gather time not so. Gather ways to go ahead. Gather all. Gather all. When you look behind.
Mix Files, number 8.